Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, the 64th chapter, the 1st through the 9th verse. Oh, that you may tear open the heavens and come down, so that the mountains would quake at your presence, as when the fire kindles brushwood and the fire causes water to boil, to make your name known to your adversaries, so that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome deeds and we did not expect, you came down, the mountains quaked at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived. No eye has seen any God besides you, who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your ways. But you were angry, and we sinned. Because you hid yourself, we transgressed. We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a filthy cloth. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you, for you have hidden your face from us and has delivered us into the hands of our iniquity. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be exceedingly angry, O Lord, and do not remember iniquities forever. Now consider, we are all your people. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Well, Thanksgiving is over, and that means it's time for what the secular world calls the Christmas season, and that's that magical time when all of a sudden everyone's Christmas lights are on, every store you go to is playing Christmas music. I think there's already two radio stations in this area that are playing Christmas music. Everything switches from fall to Christmas, and this year the timing of the leaves was perfect because all of the leaves fell right around Thanksgiving, so we ended up kind of transitioning to that winter look kind of overnight, even though the temperature outside hasn't really caught up. My mom and I were talking. My sister got married back in October, and she had an outdoor reception, and it was super cold. It was like in the 20s, and so like Thanksgiving, it's like 60 degrees, but her wedding in October, it's like 20. It's just, you know, things aren't always, especially in Missouri, following the pattern. Well, last Friday, Ashley and I got a chance to go to the Fox Theater in St. Louis and see Straight No Chasers. Anyone familiar with them? You probably are and you don't know it because you probably hear them on the radio, especially at Christmas time. But Straight No Chasers, they were a college a cappella group, and that was back in the 90s. And they sang and they did performances during college, and they graduated and they all got jobs and worked in cubicles. And 10 years later, a video of theirs surfaced, and the CEO of Atlantic Records saw the video and signed them on a record deal. They all quit their jobs and started touring and making albums. And they're really known for their Christmas music. They do a lot of other stuff, too. This is the first time I've ever seen them live. And they're really known for their Christmas music, and especially the 12 Days of Christmas, which is a rendition that they do that actually blends in Africa by Toto. It's really unique. You can find it on YouTube. And it's really cool. And they, of course, they played that as the encore because they always do. But it really got Ashley and I in the Christmas spirit, to be in the Fox Theater with all of the Christmas decorations and to hear, in addition to a lot of other stuff that they did, their famous Christmas hits and their medleys, which really got us in the Christmas spirit. So I read this passage this morning, and it doesn't exactly sound like a passage that would really get you in the Christmas spirit. But maybe, Advent is something deeper and more important than the Christmas spirit. We're heading into the season of Advent. Okay, don't tell the liturgy police because next week is technically the first Sunday of Advent, but we're moving it back a week so that Christmas Eve works better because December 24th is supposed to be both the fourth week of Advent and Christmas Eve, and we're going to do Christmas Eve in the morning and at 11 o'clock. So that way it'll work better for families who are going to be traveling that weekend, so we're going to break the rules a little bit, move Advent back a week, and we're going to do it a little bit more progressively. So we are starting with our Advent wreath today. Next Sunday, or this Sunday rather, we're going to decorate, but then next Sunday, when you come in, the church will be decorated. And then the week following, we'll do the chrismon. So kind of a little bit at a time, we'll add to the sanctuary, add to our excitement, and then finally arrive at Christmas. But first, First, we have to arrive at Advent. Advent is not mini Christmas. It's not pre-Christmas. It's not Christmas at all. Advent is a time of darkness. It's a time of repentance. It's a time of reflection, which doesn't always sound like Christmas. I was curious the other day what Wikipedia said Advent is. Sometimes I like to do this. I like to just see what Wikipedia thinks things are and just see what they say. And so Wikipedia's entry about Advent was pretty accurate, and it talked a lot about the traditions and how they got started. But you scroll down to local, and you get to the United States, and it says that Advent is largely no longer practiced in the United States. It's been replaced with Christmas music and sort of a general festive feeling that sort of comes out of the 40s and sort of that big boom of, you know, Bing Crosby and excuse me, what was the Norman Rockwell, the painter, right? All of these sort of Christmassy feelings. And that's kind of true of our culture. Even though our churches still celebrate Advent, there's very little Advent going on outside of our churches. It tends to be all Christmas all the way until the 25th. When we stop, even though Christmas lasts until the 6th of January. I love Christmas. I'm not giving it up a day early. So my lights are staying on until the 6th of January because it's still Christmas until the 6th of January. Christmas is a 12-day long festival. But Advent is extraordinarily important. Advent is this period of getting our hearts and our minds ready for the Christmas story. This passage that we read from Isaiah sounds like something that would come before Jesus, and that is exactly the point. This passage from Isaiah is a reminder to watch and to wait. It's a reminder to prepare. I have to wonder that if more people had heeded Isaiah's words, might they have been better receiving of the gospel of Jesus Christ when Jesus was here? Might they have done a better job of accepting Jesus and a better job of incorporating the gospel into their lives? Had they followed and heeded this word from Isaiah? Had they spent this time to prepare themselves for the gospel itself? Indeed, that's why Advent matters so much. Advent is about preparation. Christ promised to come again, and if we don't spend some time every year preparing for that, preparing for what that might look like, we might miss it again. When I was a kid during Christmas, one of my favorite memories was going to my great-grandmother's house. I told you all about her a couple of weeks ago. She was the first person I had ever lost that I was close to. I was at her funeral in 2005. But we would go to her house. She lived in St. Louis, and she lived in one of those little bitty houses that was right next to all the other little bitty houses. And we would come in, and there's a couple of things I remember about her house. First, she had a dog barker. I don't know if you've ever seen one of these. The only place I've ever seen one is her house. But she had this thing mounted on her wall, and if it was turned on and it heard a noise, it would bark. It had the recording of barking dogs. So if you were the first great-grandma, she has never had a dog in her life. But if you were the first person to arrive at my great-grandma's house and you knocked on the door, you were greeted to the sound of a dozen Dobermans. So that was my grandma's security system, was that dog barker. I don't know where she got it. I don't know where it came from. I've never seen another one in my life. But I loved it. It was so cool. I would be the one to go up and knock on the door and make the dogs bark. And I would be so upset if anyone got there before us, and then she was there to turn it off. Because she wouldn't turn it off until someone else got there. Another thing I would remember besides that in her old Christmas tree, she had an aluminum Christmas tree. Do any of you remember those? They're actually worth a lot of money now because they're so rare. But she still had an aluminum Christmas tree. She had the giant, like, light bulbs on it, and she had all kinds of ornaments. I think everything on her tree was 50 years old, and I loved it. And there was another very old thing in her house that I loved, and that was in her basement, and it was a train set. It had been started by her husband, who died back in the 70s, and it had been kind of completed by her son as he grew up. And then grandsons and others came and worked on it. And it was this big train set that went through her whole basement. Her whole basement was this train set. It wasn't a very big basement, but you know, it was kind of a U-shaped thing. And there were papier-mâché mountains, and there were little villages. I remember that there was like a pocket mirror, and it was used as an ice skating rink. And so like the little mirror was the ice, and there was little figures ice skating on the mirror. And it was this beautiful, beautiful thing. And my cousin would take me down, and he'd get out this silver transformer that looked like it was out of the 60s. It probably was. And he would turn the train on, and it would go around the track, and it was so fun to watch as a kid. And something else would happen, and every once in a while, one of the wheels on one of the cars would kind of skip off the track. And when that happened, it wasn't really a big deal because there was what was called the re-railer. And that's actually what I have a picture of up on the screen there. The re-railer is, that's a more modern one than the one they had. I had to find a picture online, and I couldn't find a picture of the real old one that he had. But the re-railer has two jobs on a model train set. The first is to provide electricity to the track. If you know how those model trains work, the metal tracks themselves have electricity in them, and that's what powers the train. And the re-railer is where that electricity comes in at. But the second job it has, and that's where the name comes from, is that plastic piece you can see there. On my grandpa's, it was yellow. And it's sort of like a ramp. And what happens is if any of the wheels are off the track, it'll pick the wheel up and drop it back on the track. So as it comes around the track, as it comes around, a wheel or two would skip off, and you'd hear it as it goes down over the plastic rail ties. And then it would come to the re-railer, and it would quiet down because all the wheels would be back, and it'd be back on track, and it would go and make another loop. You know, the Christian year that we talk about a lot, this liturgical year that has different colors for different seasons and different traditions for different days, sort of like my great-grandfather's railroad set. It's a loop. It goes in the same direction every year, and it passes through the same spots every year. But every single one of those spots has a purpose. Everything that he and my great-uncle built, everything that they designed, had a purpose. It had a theme. One was the town my great-grandpa grew up in, Marshton, Missouri. And it was just sort of a little village that sort of looked like the town. And it had all the little stores, and he painted all the signs. My great-grandfather was a painter. And so he did an extraordinary job from memory painting the billboards, what he can remember as a kid, the 1920s. And so each one of these had, and then there was another one that was St. Louis, and it was their neighborhood. And there was another one that was the train depot from that they had visited somewhere. It was all these different places from his memory that he created. The church year works the same way. We have these different places that we arrive at as we go through the church year. We always go in the same direction, and we always come to the same stops. But they're very, very important because each one has an extraordinary, significant role to play in the life and history of the church. But Advent is the re-railer. Advent is the moment that after we've made our journey through the Christian year, after we've made our way all the way around the loop and all the villages and all the places, through Easter where we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, through Christ the King where we remember that as Christians, for all of the places that have authority in our lives, no authority is greater than Jesus. As we go through Pentecost and we remember that the church was created by Jesus to serve Jesus, as we travel through all of these seasons of the church, we come to Advent. This is actually the beginning of the Christian year. Advent is the start of the year. It's the re-railer. It's the moment that gets us back on track. It's the moment that gets us kind of back where we're supposed to be. Those little scragglers here and there in our lives, the big ones, the little ones, the things that we miss, the things that where our spiritual lives have come just a little bit off of where they're supposed to be. Maybe we've made our way through the Christian year, but as we've done that, we've sort of come off kilter. That re-railer, Advent, I should have found a purple one, or a blue one, that re-railer gets us back on track. Advent is so profoundly important. That's why I'm passionate about it. That's why I want Advent to be a big deal in our church. Not just as mini Christmas, not just because I love Christmas so much or I love Advent so much, but because it is a time, the one unique and special time, to sort of reset our lives. And here's what can happen. If we spend all of Advent worrying about Christmas, if we spend all of Advent not taking the time to recenter ourselves and reset ourselves, then we can skip it. I think my great uncle would have loved for me to get into model trains, and I never did. I just liked coming and watching that one. That was enough for me. I never really had a desire to build the stuff myself. So I don't know a lot about them, but I suspect that if you took that re-railer out and got power to the track some other way, eventually, after a few laps, that train would come off. After a few laps of not being recentered, after a few laps of not getting back on track, that thing would be tumbling down one of those paper mache mountains or coming off of one of those beautiful bridges. I think our life is the same way. If we skip these opportunities to recenter ourselves and reconnect ourselves with the gospel, however big or small we might have come off track, I think we can have a tremendous risk of falling off altogether. There's a lot of things that try to draw our attention away from Advent. There's consumerism, this desire to buy and to sell, advertisements that are constantly bombarding us with how terrible of a human being you are if you don't buy our product for your loved one. You know, you ever notice those ads, the ones that try to guilt you? There's always the ad I remember there was an ad for a jewelry store, and this girl had a boyfriend that got her some really lame ring from the competitor, and then this other guy swoops in and buys her the expensive ring from the name brand that was on TV, and she falls into his arms, you know? These awful consumerist attitudes that tell us that what you buy determines who you love. And that's kind of the opposite of Advent, right? It kind of gets away from the whole point. And then there's busyness. We get so extraordinarily busy this time of year that we skip the opportunity to recenter and get ourselves back on track. Our Advent series is titled very simply, Coming Home. Coming Home is going to be our theme for the next several weeks. We're going to look at the stories in the Bible that get us to Christmas, and then we're going to look at the stories of the birth of Jesus Christ. We'll get to that closer to Christmas Eve. As we navigate through those stories, we're going to together have a conversation about what it might mean to come back home, to find ourselves back at that starting point of our Christian journey, and to embark on that journey again together. You know, the coolest thing about being a Christian is that it's not a destination, it's a journey. Every one of us is on this journey, every moment of our lives, from the start of our Christian faith all the way into the moment where we leave this life for the next. Every moment of our lives is a journey towards Jesus, and it isn't always linear. I know for me, and I suspect probably a lot of you, it looks a little bit more like this, right? It has moments where we get closer to God and the moments where we sort of fall and slide off, where moments where a few wheels come off. You know, when I would watch that train track, sometimes it could make the entire loop without a problem. Sometimes it would get so messed up you'd have to reach up and kind of push it to get it towards the derailleur, you know? I don't know. I don't know enough about those trains to know what causes that or why sometimes it would work and sometimes it wouldn't, but I do know that life is like that. Sometimes we seem to go okay. Sometimes it seems like one thing after another is knocking us off the track. That's why Advent is so incredibly important. Here at Advent, here in this space, over the next several weeks, we're going to examine what it means to get back on track. This passage that we read, that Susan read, is a very powerful prayer to God, and it ends in this, verses 8 and 9. Yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Do not be angry beyond measure. Do not remember our sins forever. Oh, look on us, we pray, for we are all your people. Did you notice the words from the hymn we sang just before the scripture was read? Thou art the potter, I am the clay. That's a hymn that we've sang, I don't know, hundreds of times before. That's a very familiar hymn for most of us. It's a very old hymn, it's a very familiar hymn. And I know that we sing it, but I wonder how much we truly believe it. You know, one of the things about that re-railer that strikes me as so cool is that it doesn't matter what the train is doing, the re-railer puts it on the same track, going the same direction and the same path. That can be really terrifying for human beings. It's okay for a train because that's what it's designed to do, but we as human beings, we get a little scared of that. Of the idea that God could shape us into something different than what we think we would like to be or like to do. That God could point us in a direction that's maybe a little bit different than the direction we would like to face. I know I have. Has anyone else had that experience of God leading you in a direction that's kind of the opposite way of where you think you'd like to go? Yeah? Joyce and I have, at least. Definitely in my life, I've had those experiences where God has said that I needed to do something and that seemed to be contrary to everything I wanted to do. Have thine own way, Lord. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. All too often, we make God into the clay, and we try to shape God into the image of a God that works for us instead of trying to ask God what it is that we need to be created into being. That's why Advent is so important. Spend time this Advent. My prayer for each of us is that we would spend time this Advent focusing on recentering ourselves, on focusing ourselves personally, spiritually, emotionally, in our relationships, in every aspect of our lives, focusing on getting things back on track, back towards the work that God calls us to do. Now, there's a few things that I think that we can do to really commit to living Advent. The first is to make worshiping during Advent a priority. I know I'm the pastor, I'm supposed to say that. But worshiping during Advent is such a profound and special experience, not just for the pretty decorations and not just for the hymns that we all love, but because it is a time to come together as a community in this space and say, God, we want to put aside our busyness, we want to put aside all of the things that are going on in the world and spend an hour together. That communal worship is important to God. God has asked us to do this. This is something that Jesus established, right? This communal worship matters. God, we want to come together to worship you, to praise you, and to ask you to mold us and shape us. In our lives, worship can be kind of a slow fade away. We get busy. We have a million things going on in our lives. And sort of little by little, it doesn't happen overnight, little by little, we start adding more and more things to our priority list above worship. Advent can be a great time to put worship back at the top of that list, to put worshiping the one who created us back at the top, where suddenly it isn't so easy to find an excuse. It isn't so easy to find a reason not to be together in worship. And again, I know I'm the pastor, I'm supposed to say that, but I really mean it. Worshiping together during Advent, committing to do it each and every week, can be a profoundly experiential way to live Advent and to allow Advent to shape and change our lives in preparation for Christmas. I think the next way we can do it is finding an Advent practice at home. For some families, that's like an Advent wreath at home, or maybe they have a devotional that they do as a family. But whatever it is, find some protected time. You know what I mean by protected time? I mean that it's the most important thing you do that day. Now, for me, that means I have to do it really early in the morning. That's when I do my devotional time. Or I have to do it late in the evening, one or the other, right? I have to pick some time where I know that I'm not going to have something else interrupt me. But it's still a protected time. My devotional time is my time with God. Nothing else gets in the way of that. If we find some devotional time, again, if you're a ritual kind of person like me, you might find a lot of value in having an Advent wreath that you get around and pray together with your family and light as you go along each week. Or maybe you're a little more of an introverted type of person and you just need to find a corner and a time, say 8 o'clock every night or 5 o'clock every morning, no matter what, I'm doing my devotional this time. You grab my Bible, and I'm going to read the stories from Isaiah. I'm going to read the stories of the prophets, and I'm going to pray that God gets me back on track. Here's the thing. That train metaphor that I keep using, and I promise I'll be done with it after this sermon, you know, that it's just one or two wheels that come off. You know, I'm not talking about the whole train derailing. I'm not talking about a crisis where your life is over. I mean, we get back on track when just a couple of things are starting to come off kilter, because if we don't, things start to compound. Chances are there is something in your life that isn't quite on track right now. As I said, that's the great thing about being a Christian, is that we are constantly on a journey of moving ourselves towards what God has designed us to do. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, called this Christian perfection. And what Christian perfection does not mean is that that's the eventual, or that that's the destination, that you'll become perfect because you're a Christian, and then all is hunky-dory. No, Christian perfection means that that is the goal, and that's what you work towards your entire life, but you'll never achieve it. Now, that doesn't sound as exciting and fluffy as some of the songs on the radio make Christianity sound, but it is the Christian goal, to work towards being like Jesus. And as we do that, as we make our way around a circuit of another year, there's going to be those moments where we come a little bit off track, but that's okay. It's okay because we will come back to this section every year. Every year we will come back to this place called Advent, and every year we will encourage ourselves to encounter God, to reset, to refocus, and get back on track in our lives spiritually, emotionally, and personally, so that we're prepared for the most incredible story that's ever been told. The last week of this series, when we do Christmas Eve on the 20th and the 24th, you know, we're going to come together and we're going to share that incredible story. Now, it is not reasonable to hope that we'll all be Christian perfect and we'll have figured everything out and we'll have all the answers and nothing in our life will cause us stress and everything will be figured out by the 20th of December. But what I do hope and my prayer and what I think can happen if we're serious about it is that we can be just a little bit closer to our Savior come Christmas Eve. Come Christmas Eve, we can be just a little bit closer to the one who created us so that we can experience and receive that story in a whole new way, having focused ourselves on becoming more altogether Christians all Advent long. Friends, I am so excited for this season coming up. It is my favorite time of year. The decorations I love, the songs I love, seeing all of you I love. Advent's usually a high attendance time, which always excites me because I get to see everybody. But it is only exciting if it actually changes and affects our lives. Otherwise, we're not doing anything different than Hallmark. So friends, my prayer for each of us every week during this Advent series is that we would take seriously the call from God to celebrate a holy Advent, to become transformed by the power of the gospel, and to go forth from this place with a renewed spirit and getting back on track in our Christian lives. And you're, excuse me, amen.